Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Readers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different manga every single week. For the last time
for forever.
I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read manga.
Yes, we do.
This month.
And after we read this, I will be totally ready for Japan, and I'll know everything about it that I need to know just through the context of mangas.
You don't even need to go anymore.
That's
cause
true.
Because you know everything.
Dude, I'll save a lot of money if I do that.
Thousands.
Thousands, easily.
We're double recording, so no news this week. But I did have something I noticed today, this week. So, I was watching Gilmore Girls, passively.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the room.
Big Gilmore Girls guy, aren't you?
You know, it's not bad.
Actually, I was talking with Jackson about Gilmore Girls, or he was talking to me about Gilmore Girls.
Dude, it like puts Lucas to sleep really easily for some reason.
That's good.
It's like a lullaby. Mm. But anyway, there's this like nerdy boyfriend that the daughter in the show has, and they're like in a fight, and he's got this like rolled up magazine or something.
Comic?
And I'm like, I was like, I fucking know. Is that 8-Ball? Does he have an issue of 8-Ball in his hand?
Whoa.
Which is like what this is. This is the collection of 8-Ball.
This is the Daniel Klaus thing?
Dan Klaus, yeah.
That's cool.
Which is like, you know, indie comics to the max.
Yeah.
And
how old is Gilmore Girls?
90s is when it started.
Whoa.
That I think the issue that he had came out in like 97 or something.
Damn.
He just had it rolled up. I'm like, be careful with that.
Yeah, dude, what are you doing?
And I was trying to find the cover, but the cover is not like printed in this. But
that's funny.
I only saw it based off of like the first couple letters because it was rolled up,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I'm like, eight. And I just thought that was so cool. I'm like, this guy knows ball. Whoever wrote this shit knows ball.
Whatever production designer was in there.
Yeah. And then I think there was some reference to some comic thing too, and I was like, who's responsible for us? I need to talk to somebody.
Yeah, that is always fun. You know that guy on TikTok that will like find out what sports game is on the background of like a TV for like any show or movie?
You seen that guy? I probably.
That guy's really fucking good at what he does, and I feel like I try to do the same thing anytime I see a comic. Like it'll be in the background, it'll be kind of blurry, and it'll be like, okay, when does this come out? So you know it's pre-2015 or whatever. And I like trying to figure out what it is and what's on his wall.
I just Google whatever name is on it if I don't know it right away.
Right.
Like I know like Black Hole was in like Planet of the Apes, like Dawn of the Planet of the Apes,
that's
I think.
Cool.
And then like in Million Dollar Baby, Morgan Freeman's reading this book called Mystic, which I think is like a DC or Vertigo thing. It didn't seem very good, but it was weird because this guy like lives in the boxing gym, so he can't afford to like live anywhere else, but he has money for comics.
I guess. I mean, they're like on newsstands and stuff in the day. Yeah. I always try and like see what they got, you know, mounted or just like on a desk somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun.
Definitely. But Nathan, we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Berserk. And we also got Back Meta Matters in the poll list if you want to skip to that. But what did you think about this?
This is awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, pretty fun, breezy read. Different than I thought it was going to be in some ways. I don't really know what to expect. I just hear about this a lot. I don't know anything about any of this. So it's cool to read it.
Mm-hmm.
But I see why people like it. There's some fucking cool things. Actually, the only thing I knew about this going in, the main character, his name is Guts.
Yep.
In Elden Ring, sometimes people can just like invade your world and you can't do anything about it. And you just have to fight them. And there's a guy that invaded my world and his name was Guts. And he looked fucking exactly like this dude to a T. And he had a big sword like Guts did. And he had like the same coat and fucking armor pieces and shit. And I was like, that's pretty cool.
In Elden Ring?
In Elden Ring, yeah.
Hmm.
So he invaded my world. I saw his name was Guts, and I like knew enough about this that I knew that this was this guy's name.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like posing. Like he just show off his cool costume.
Yeah.
So that's like my only experience with this book, which is very unique, and I think I'm the only person that's ever run into that. But
yeah, I'm like I had some momentum reading this.
Yeah, you have a lot. You have all of it?
No shot.
Do you have a couple big volumes of it?
I have 3 or 4 big volumes of it. Mm-hmm. I'm on volume 7, like, so the 7th one of that.
Oh, okay, got it.
I always, like, think about reading it, but, like, just time and priorities, I guess.
Right.
But it's pretty good. I like it a lot. Rereading this, I'm like, this fucking rules.
So, yeah, it's pretty good.
Because I love, like, a dark fantasy thing, which is, like, I feel like this volume is, like, the best version of that in the story.
Really?
Because, like, the 2nd and 3rd volume contain, like, the character that's at the end of this, like, the bad guy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that point is what's called, like, the Golden Age arc, where he's just, like, a part of, like, a mercenary company. And they're just, like, kind of galloping around and, like, fighting and stuff, but, like, during the daytime. So everything's very bright and not as dark as these first 2 volumes.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't, I guess the fans of this don't like these first couple chapters.
Really?
For some reason.
I think this is awesome. There's some good stuff in here.
Yeah, no, I think it's kick-ass, but I don't know, it's just a very wide range of, like, what this book is like, you know? And so...
Have you watched the show at all?
So, the show is super tricky. So, there's, like...
There's an older version and a newer version?
There's an older version from, like, 97 or something, and you can't... You can watch, like, the first episode on, like, YouTube, but you can't get it anywhere else. Like, it used to all be on YouTube, but it's not anymore.
Damn.
So, you can get, like, a bootleg copy of it or something, but that covers this. Cool. These stories, like, the first couple volumes. There is... like a series of movies that is the Golden Age arc, and they end up cutting that up into episodes. And then there's, like, some other series that happened a couple years ago, maybe, and I'm not even sure what those cover.
Right.
But they haven't, like, gone back to start at, like, the beginning, you know, and it's not very linear, it seems. Like, there is an order you could watch them, but it's not like it covers everything in the manga.
Okay.
So this is kind of like one of those cursed kind of properties when it comes to the adaptation.
Yeah.
The episode I watched on YouTube, that was, like, cool, I guess. It seems like they kind of pull back on the violence, you know, like
probably just for animation.
When limitation. The guy gets cut in half and, like, the bar, like a table is covering up, like, his guts and stuff, you know? So not the most faithful adaptation of this property, you know?
Got it.
There's a game, like a Berserk game.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
On what?
Oh, it's like something old. I think it was like in the 90s.
It's like a side scroller type thing?
No, I saw an edit of it. It almost looked like...
You saw an edit of it?
Yeah, I almost sent it to you today.
It's on PS2.
Was it? Oh, that's cool. It seemed like it'd be something older than that.
Well, there's a bunch of them.
A bunch of games?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Berserk and the Band of the Hawk. This was the most recent one.
Yeah, so that's like the
PS4, PS3, Vita.
That's like the mercenary team that he's a part of in the Golden Age arc.
There's a Sword of the Berserk, Guts Rage, which is a Dreamcast action game.
Whoa.
And the story is written by the guy, by Mura. Berserk Millennium Falcon arc. I think that, I don't know if that's, I don't know. I think he took that from something. What's a Millennium Falcon? Is that a thing in this game? Or in this story?
Not that I know.
And there's some board games. That's funny. Interesting.
Kentaro
Miura.
Miura.
He's really good in this. Like, this came out in the 90s, I guess.
Yeah.
And the art fucking holds up. It's, like, pretty modern feeling, I would say. You know what I mean?
Like, it doesn't feel old?
Like, this could have come out last week when I would be like, this is cool.
Yeah. No, you know what I mean? Super neat.
So it doesn't feel aged at all, especially for like a 90s book.
I feel like it seems a little old when you see like the little fairy guy.
The fairy? No, I think that feels like a more modern like juxtaposition.
Maybe.
Of like the story. So I think that's interesting. I don't like the fairy guy just conceptually.
Sure.
And that he's naked and he looks like a little boy. Or girl. Probably boy.
I think it's non-binary.
Even still, I don't want to see him naked. Put some clothes on. That's the only thing that was like, okay, this is whatever.
Mm.
But let's get into it. So it's the first three chapters. So this first one's the Black Swordsman. And it opens up on our main character, Guts, who is in someone's guts while doing missionary position. And when the woman turns into a demon, Guts shoots it with his cannon arm, which is pretty cool. Guts walks into a nearby town and sees some men tormenting a fairy dude named Puck. So Guts kills them with his big sword, cuts them in half. And it turns out those men were guards to a big snake guy who controls the town. And the mayor of the town is like subservient to him. And so Guts gets captured and he's tortured and he's thrown in jail. But later Puck finds Guts and he heals him inside of his cell. And the snake lord guy comes in with his men and Guts takes them all down and kills the snake lord dude with his crossbow, his cannon hand, and his big sword.
So, like, where I'm at is like the middle of the Golden Age arc, where he doesn't have like the fucking...
He's got no cannon arm anymore?
He doesn't have the cannon arm. He doesn't have like the fucking... It's like a...
Crossbow?
Crossbow, like gauntlet thing.
Yeah.
He has both eyes.
What? He gets his eyes back?
No, it's like... This is like modern. This is like current, and then the Golden Age arc is like a flashback. Oh,
flashback.
So it's just like the longest flashback of all time.
Okay,
it's
so like you haven't...
So I don't know how he gets to that point.
You don't know about his eye still?
No.
What the fuck? I was going to ask you about that.
Dude, it's there's 42 of those volumes.
But
42.
But he clearly thought about his eye being fucked up. So I figured.
They didn't explain it in the parts that I've gotten to. I'm not an expert on this.
You'd think that they'd run out of all the ideas that he had for this book by like volume 5 and be like, this is why he is the way he is.
Nope.
That's crazy.
And so
I'm looking it up. I'm going to spoil it for you.
Don't tell me.
Okay, I'm going to look it up for myself.
Do it.
Why Berserk?
Why one eye? His name's not Berserk.
Oh, it's not? No, I'm just kidding. Seems right. Okay, I know. No, you don't. No, I'm a
bigger
fan. Do you
think it's a spoiler?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Moving on.
I do like this. Because
first page.
The first page.
Do you think he nuts?
Dude, I think he...
Like, might as well, right?
you're too deep. Dude, does he nut? I think he does. Maybe the cannon is him nutting.
It looks like... it's a metaphor.
It is a metaphor for his big fucking ropes that he shoots.
Yeah.
That's a funny first page. I think it really sets the stage for what's going on.
I feel like it doesn't, because that, like, you never see him fuck again for a song that I've been reading. He's never been, like, a demon that looks quite like that.
And he clearly knows that this was a demon, because he's not taken off guard by it. And so he made the conscious decision to fuck this demon.
I don't think he
knew. Fuck the
demon
out of this girl. and then kills the girl, presumably.
I don't think he knew, but he also was
just
ready.
You fell into my trap, which is him dicking her down, I guess. I think he was just trying to be edgy. And yeah. He's like, I don't know, I'm not going to do that again, maybe.
I didn't know that the brand, I like forgot that the brand like bled.
I think it's cool because it bleeds when there's demons around.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like that there are translations of the onomatopoeia.
That is nice.
That is maybe the coolest thing.
They do that a lot in manga because when the onomatopoeia is just like a part of the art,
right?
You know, so it'd be lame to...
It's helpful.
Translate that.
I like that it is translated.
Because I think in Akira, there's not
translations
for a lot of that.
Yeah. I do think that this first double page spread is really fucking cool.
Dude, one swing.
One swing. He cuts this dude in half. He's fucking, the top half of him is flipping around. And, you know, I just love a dude with a big sword. Or any person with a big sword.
It's like the biggest sword.
It's the biggest sword. Absolute One Woman, I'm like, that's a big sword.
Yeah.
I like that shit.
There's a company that goes to like cons sometimes and they make
big sword?
Big wooden swords that are like supposed to be weighted to replicate that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to be like
super
insanely
strong.
Insanely strong.
Yeah.
And a part of me thinks it'd be so cool just to get like strong enough to swing that shit around.
Have you seen the dude that has a big sword and that's how he works out, is he just swings it around?
I think that's probably where I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
There is a panel where the big snake man stabs a person and lifts them up and then drinks their blood as it like drips down. And that was fucking cool. He's a very creative man, this artist, Kentaro.
Yeah, that's fun. Oh, he also does one swing and he cuts a guy and his horse in half.
Yeah.
That was brutal.
You shouldn't have done that.
Why?
Kill the horse?
Is that like killing a dog?
I just feel like the horse didn't deserve it. That's a little fucked up.
It's a bad horse.
I guess it's a bad horse that was just following orders. So the cannon arm.
I don't know. What about it?
It's got a string attached to it that he pulls on.
Yeah, this is like the Dark Ages.
How did he do that?
And it shoots fucking blasts.
It shoots big blasts. But like I thought you could just trigger it because it's a part of you. But no, there's like a panel where he bites a string and he clearly pulls it. Like it's a fucking trebuchet or something. Like, look at that.
Yeah.
So does he have to do that every time?
What is that?
It's like a catapult, but I don't know why it's different from a catapult. I think it's just an innovation on it where I think a catapult's like stiff and a trebuchet like has ropes at the end of it that like flings something, but it's essentially the same as a catapult. But the triggering of...
I just think of like a cannon that almost you'd light at the end.
Right. But that's what I think a cannon is. You have to like light it. But he like pulls the string and it's got a... I don't know. I just think that's funny. But we don't see the string happen again and he shoots the cannon multiple times. So I don't understand the mechanics of it.
It's also a comic.
It is also a comic. Also, how does he... He attaches the crossbow. It just mounts onto his arm, I guess, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like that idea.
What's the fairy's name?
Puck.
Puck? Yeah. Puck like, says Berserk, says the name in the...
Yeah, I'm like, I thought it'd be a really funny idea to do a letterbox, but you only watch a movie up until they say the title of the movie, and then you rate the movie based off of that.
There is an account that does that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then he gives it like...
No, doesn't he just say if they say the title of the movie in the movie?
5 stars if they say the name. 1/2 star if they don't say the name. 3.5 stars if they partially say the name.
Right.
And he watches like every movie.
That's so funny.
I see reviews on like every movie.
I came up with that idea because I fell asleep watching One Battle After Another this week. And they say One Battle After Another like 5 minutes in. And I was like, it'd be funny.
Do they?
If I just stop watching the movie. Because I was like, oh, they said it. And
yeah.
Like, I just don't know anything about the movie enough to rate it.
Right. You like put the time code like in the review.
In the review. It's like 5 minutes in. I don't know. Seems like it would be good.
First 5 minutes were good.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty good first opening issue. So we go into the next chapter, which is the brand. So Guts makes his way to his next destination. Puck tries to follow him, but he gets like rejected. And he's like, I'm just going to go on my own. You don't need to follow me, you weird fairy child. And they later meet up again when there's a priest that's traveling on a wagon with his daughter. And so he gets into it and Puck's there. So they just kind of like end up meeting again. But Guts he just kind of rides along. He has a nap and he has like a nightmare where he's naked and he's fighting some creatures that are haunting him. It's like these weird slug looking things. But when he wakes up, there are some possessed skeletons that attack the group.
So sick.
Awesome. I love just skeletons with swords and armor on them, I think.
The best.
They kill the priest's daughter, which like possesses her, and the daughter like kills the priest,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy. So Guts is like fighting the others and the daughter kills the priest, but Guts kills the daughter and the other skeletons. He like fights them all night long, basically until the morning, and then he just continues his walk.
Yeah, he like tells them to fuck off.
Yeah.
Because he knows that being near anyone puts right. him in danger.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess like having the brand attracts dark spirits or whatever.
He like signed up for this job that he's doing, and the brand is a part of that, mm-hmm. which is why I see everybody with a Berserk tattoo. It is a cool tattoo, I will say.
Yeah. I might get it if I finish this.
You should. I think it's cool.
Yeah. I don't know where I'd put it, but
I've seen one where it was like on somebody's forearm.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I feel like it's always connected to like gym culture because whenever I see it, it's like at the gym for some reason.
Yeah.
Maybe that's when I'd see it's people, but
it's because you want to be buff like Guts here.
That's true.
But yeah,
I feel like the scale of the sword is constantly fluctuating. Because when he's on this little cart thing, it looks gigantic. It looks like a fucking surfboard.
It's very wide. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's like wider in different parts.
That's funny. I didn't even notice that. But you're right. It does look huge there. But then sometimes when he's like swinging it around, it's just kind of like whatever needs to be to fit the page.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this issue is great. I really like the reveal that the priest dies to his own possessed daughter. I like the way that they reveal that.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like Guts has his own sense of values because he was telling these people, like, I don't want to ride with you. He like doesn't feel that all that much guilt when they die, or at least he tries not to show that to Puck.
Yeah.
But it seems like he's getting like haunted by these consequences later on.
Mm-hmm. I like when that squid thing is like attacking, because he throws it on to where Puck's sleeping, and then Puck like wakes up and it's just this like eyeball looking at him.
Yeah, what the fuck? What is this? Do you figure out what that is? It seems like something that's a recurring haunt or something of him.
Not specifically. I don't think it's like a recurring thing.
Okay.
I don't remember seeing it again. But like where I'm at, I haven't come back to this point in time.
Right.
In Berserk.
You haven't come back to the present.
Right.
So after this volume that goes into the Golden?
Like the fourth volume.
Oh, okay, got it.
So like the second.
After the mercenary stuff.
The second like hardcover thing.
Okay, got it. There's a really well done page where he kills the possessed daughter and he like slices her. And then there's a panel of just the blood in the air and the same blood trail like hits him. And the blood acts as like a white space. And I was like, that's really fucking clever. So I think he puts a lot of thought into these big moments.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not a whole lot of detail around it. It's just very focused on what he's trying to show. And I think it's cool. It like provides like a slow-mo effect and everything. So that was sweet.
Yeah. I want to say that there's like a new series is like being made for this to be more true to the manga and like kind of starting at the beginning, but I'm not sure.
That'd be cool.
But that'd be cool.
I'd give it a watch.
For sure. I didn't even catch the negative space thing.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a very like small detail. And like, you know that he's like controlling the pace of this moment because he clearly doesn't want to do this. He doesn't want to kill a kid, you know,
but right.
It's possessed. And then this double page, he's just fucking fighting skeletons. Hell yeah.
Yeah. I feel like there's not a lot of, at least in my radar, like just dark fantasy stuff. Like you either get like fantasy or like horror, you know, but I don't.
Yeah.
I know this is kind of like Dark Souls basically, but there's no media that I've consumed that is like this.
Yeah.
You know? So this is like,
this is awesome.
Cause there's like,
for that reason,
dark fantasy TikToks I see, you know, like these are cool. I feel like there should be more stuff like this, you know, but
I think it might be hard to pull off. I mean, like I've just been surrounding myself with a lot of dark fantasy souls like video games lately. So I'm seeing it a lot and I'm like, this is sweet. Like I never thought that I would enjoy. And I still don't think that I do to an extent like regular fantasy.
Sure.
Like orcs and elves and fucking, you know, wizards and stuff. But dark fantasy shit just goes sorcery stuff. So crazy. And Elden Ring, I think, affected the way that I interact with media for forever. It's fucked up.
Wait, why?
Because it's just incredible. And the more I interact with it, the more that I have an appreciation for it, and I've played the game 3 times now.
Elden Ring?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I played it by myself.
So how does that affect other media?
It
just doesn't compare?
It's not as good, and my life is forever worse for it, I think.
Have you read any of the Elden Ring stuff? Like,
I bought the manga, and I'm going to read it on a train.
Oh, sick.
In Japan. I'm going to finally fulfill my dream.
Getting a picture. Reading.
I'm going to have Sophia take a picture of me reading on a train. And if Mount Fuji's in the fucking background, I'll probably just blow my head off there. I can't get any happier, I don't think.
I feel like everyone will just like be at the window taking a picture.
They're going to be like, he's so performative. But I'm going to be so happy in that moment, I think.
You got to know which side it's going to show up on. And
I do.
Get your seat early.
The fucking left side. I'm going to go there. But yeah, I think it's so good. And it it fucks up my brain a little bit, I think.
I wish there was like an easy version of it to play.
But I think the...
Because I just don't have the patience to like...
You definitely need the patience and the time. But there's a way to make the game like easy if you know what you're doing. But I understand that. Like, but part of the... What's so special about it is like the journey of it, for sure. Mm. Even though I didn't know what was going on. And I think I have a greater appreciation of it on further playthroughs and looking up like lore videos and shit. But the game's crazy because it was like written by George R.R. Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And it was never officially written down anywhere. It was just made for the game. And so people have like their own interpretations of it. Like it's its own fucking religion. And people sell books on like what their interpretation of Elden Ring is, basically.
Like fan fiction?
Just their interpretation of what they've captured from the game. So I don't know if it's necessarily fan fiction.
Mm.
But I don't know. It's crazy.
Nice. But
I would say like another dark fantasy thing I like is, I would consider like Bird King dark fantasy. I think that shit's cool.
Yeah. I feel like Game of Thrones can be kind of dark fantasy sometimes.
Yeah, I would say that is.
Like not a majority of it, but like kind of later seasons.
Later seasons of it.
Just like the Night King stuff.
But yeah, I think there's a lot. Just when things are just kind of like weird, crazy creatures and skeletons with armor. I think it's a pinnacle.
I think Army of Darkness is
pretty
dark fantasy, but on like a smaller scale, it seems.
Mm-hmm. So chapter 3 of this, we get called the Guardians of Desire, and Guts makes it to the next town, and someone's getting executed for hearsay against the Count, who's like their big king. And Guts takes the freshly beheaded head and he throws it at the Count and he threatens him with his sacrifice brand thing. And so Guts and Puck then run off and they have to run away from a bunch of guards. They have to kill a bunch of guards that are running after them. But when it seems like they're going to get overwhelmed by guards, there's a cloaked man that throws like a smoke bomb to help Guts escape with him. And the cloaked man reveals that he used to be a physician, but now has like a mangled face because of the Count guy. And he wants Guts to kill the Count, who he says is a demon. So the cloaked man takes Guts into a room that has this like weird egg object with like human facial features on it. And Guts recognizes it as the Beharit.
Baelit.
The Baelit? What the fuck? That's a crazy pronunciation. And that's the end of this. But what the hell is a Baelit?
I don't know.
You still don't know?
Mm-mm.
What does he do with it after this? Do
you remember? Nope. Okay.
Does it throw it at him or something?
It's like a way to like access like the God Hand.
Cool.
And I'll show you the God Hand. It's like this group of people that are demons, I guess. And it's kind of like the big bad group, you know? That's them. You see them in volume 3.
Okay.
And so I think the Baelit is like how you summon them or something.
That's cool looking.
Yeah. So the knight looking guy, that's Griffith. And he is like, you know, this is him like in like the current times. But Griffith is like the leader of like the Band of the Hawk.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Golden Age arc, I assume, just is how you kind of learn of their relationship and how he gets to that point.
Who's this weird MODOK looking guy?
I don't know. So I think I want to say the Count is like almost like he's either like a part of the God Hand or is kind of like a, like their bitch.
Yeah, it seems like it.
And but the a lot of it, I'm just I don't know what's happening. So yeah,
fair enough. I like that the Count just looks like a big kingpin looking guy.
Yeah, I fucking hate that dude. He's so annoying, and he's like a good villain, but yeah, he's just like a huge piece of shit.
Right. There's a cool scene where one of these guards has like a big hammer.
Yeah, there's like kind of a...
There's like some special big guards.
Yeah.
And he has to swing his sword even harder, like smash the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like he has to get like kind of creative with how he keeps some of the action interesting, and I think he does a good job here. And
I feel like people getting cut in half like never gets old.
No, I really like seeing how that's drawn.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. Was there a part where Guts like pushes over this guy that's cloaked?
Pushes him over?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or like he like falls over. No, he just laughs at him for falling over. That's fucked up.
There's a point where Puck was actually like being helpful, because there's people just kind of with their crossbows like shooting down at him.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, watch out.
And so he like flies up and like blinds him, because he can like just emit light or whatever.
That's cool. Yeah. It seems like he has some kind of vague powers at this point, because he's got some healing powers, which is cool.
Oh, yeah.
Which we find out in the first one. And then in this one, he like can blind some people, which is cool. But yeah, I think I enjoy their relationship. I like how visually juxtaposed Puck is, because he's such a like typical anime, like exaggerated sort of cartoonish faces kind of character.
Mm-hmm.
And then Guts is always just like aura farming. Like,
right.
He just always looks cool. So I think that that's a cool, like just visual difference between them.
Yeah. The physician guy, he's just got like jars of stuff. He's got like,
yeah, because he's a scientist.
He's got a fairy in there, you know, and he's got these mutated babies. It's weird because he's got these like mutated babies and then like just a frog, like on this shelf.
Like those, like why would they be on the same shelf?
Yeah,
or just like some severed eyeballs,
right? But yeah,
cool book.
Cool book.
This one was my favorite one, I think, of the manga.
Your favorite manga? I think so too.
Yeah. And I think it's not close.
No, definitely. I'm glad we got to this one, because I think about it a lot, and I definitely do want to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a lot. And I think if I'm like consistent about it, it could be like one of those ones that you kind of like obsess over and like, you know, or kind of like grinding through.
Right.
But what do you rate this?
What do I rate this? I give this one like, I give this a good steak dinner.
Ooh.
But your knife that you used to cut is a big sword.
There you go.
I like that.
I give it a gotta have it. I'm not sure what of, but just like proportion wise, it's like a lot, and I like enjoy it, you know? Mm.
You eat it with one eye open.
Sure. What do you think it's rated on League of Comic Geeks?
This one's got to be up there, because people really like it. It's kind of known. I would say this is, it's got to be at least 4.6. I'll give it I think they say it's a 4.7.
It got 4.5.
What?
Mm-hmm.
That was close, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sure maybe like
that's a pretty high rating.
Later volumes or higher, but as far as the first one goes.
Nice.
So the thing about this one is that Kentaro Mora, he died a couple years ago.
Whoa.
And Berserk's like unfinished. But he has like a friend that he told like the ending to. And so he's going to like finish it.
Did Kentaro like request that he finish the story?
Maybe. I assume so.
Whoa.
I guess it's like,
what a ginormous burden to put on your friend.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably very honorable and like nice thing to do and to offer somebody to do, but
that's crazy. it's like 14 of the, like the deluxe things.
Holy shit.
And the 14th one is like a little smaller, because it's like,
that's sad.
It's like the, all the Kentaro stuff.
Yeah.
So everything after that, I don't know if it's been coming out after that point, but that's like where it's at.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So let's get into the poll list, Colin.
Shove it in your box.
The poll list, the poll list. What did you shove in your box?
All right, did this have Back Matter?
No.
Okay. I just had Battle Beast number 8 coming out.
I don't even know what's coming out that month. I didn't look it up.
Yeah, next week. Do you want to look it up?
Yeah, let me look it up real quick.
There's Absolute Batman 19.
Yep, I'll be getting that. I'm going to skip on Lobo 2, I think.
And you get Batwoman 2?
Yes.
Did you get Deathstroke?
Nope.
Yeah, okay.
And that might be it.
Did you read anything on top of our normal stuff?
Yep, I read the new Daredevil.
So did I. What do you think?
Pretty cool. I don't know what I was expecting. It was a little bit different than what it was, but I really like the artist whose name I'm spacing on right now. Lee Garbett.
Yeah.
I think he's a really good Daredevil artist.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that we saw more like Daredevil effects in the book, because I think he's a really creative artist and I think he could do well with it. Like a lot of the Echo Vision or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I think there could be more of that, but it seems like the villain's going to be kind of cool, and I like that he's a professor. I think it's just a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Daredevil's bad when you don't incorporate all the elements and he's just Daredevil.
Yeah. You got to have like...
You got to have him being a lawyer and being like, man,
Matt Murdock stuff.
Yeah. Matt Murdock stuff where he's like a lawyer and he's like, man, the law sucks. Or he's like doing the Christian stuff. He's like, man, God sucks sometimes. Which is why I think this new season of Daredevil Born Again kind of sucks, because he's only Daredevil. But but this comic's cool. I'm going to keep on reading it for a little bit. I think it'll be really good. What do you think of it?
I think I'll wait for trade, but it is like a promising start.
Yeah.
The new villain seems cool, whatever their deal is.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then I read the new Bizarro book.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Year Zero?
Year None.
Year None. That was a lot different than I thought it was going to be.
Totally.
But it was really good.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I just like how fun the dialogue was. I don't know if you got that as well, but it was very like playful sort of back and forth between Jimmy Olsen and like Perry White.
Yeah, I haven't read a ton of Kevin Smith stuff, but he seemed to do well with this.
Yeah, I was surprised at how much I liked his dialogue, actually. And Nick Patera is obviously like a force of an artist.
He's a monster.
Like the big like Nutcracker Toy Man thing that was in the Daily Planet was really cool looking, but he just did really well. And for what largely was an issue of just people walking around and talking to each other, I was very entertained by his artwork and just the interaction in general.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how this is a Bizarro book yet.
Yeah.
Because you don't see like Bizarro necessarily, you just see a Superman, and I think he's in a Bizarro world, but he's not Bizarro yet. So
right.
I guess this is like the origin of Bizarro, but I didn't realize that that's how it worked.
It's like a Elseworlds Bizarro thing.
Yeah.
It seems like.
So I'm interested to see where that goes. I'm definitely gonna keep picking it up. Hopefully it comes out on time for the rest of it.
Yeah. I think it will.
But I enjoyed that. And then I read most of the Mad magazine that came out. Mm-hmm. I haven't finished it yet. But I think that's really, really fun too.
Nice. I read Batwoman number one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing we read Elegy, because there's a lot of that
in
there.
It was just mostly that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was not quite how I thought the art would end up looking like, but it is cool.
It was different than I thought too.
And I think if you just like Batwoman, this would be like up your alley from what is out there, which is a lot of Greg Rucka.
Yeah.
I read Deathstroke, The Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty promising start. I'm just really not into some of the ongoing stuff that's in the big two right now.
Yeah.
The artwork's incredible, but I'm not like, oh my God, I can't wait for number two, you know? So
right.
I'll probably just leave it at that. I read Muppets Noir number one, which was pretty fun. I thought that was cool.
Pretty fun. A lot more dialogue than I thought.
Yeah. Probably just one and done with that one as well.
Yeah. Same for me.
But I think they pulled off what they're going for.
I do too. And I love that it exists. And
yeah.
I saw the second cover and I was like, God, it's such a good cover. And I almost picked it up, but I was like, no, I'm not going to like it.
And then I read She-Hulk number one from the Dan Slott run.
Nice.
From this omnibus.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. The artwork's a little odd to me. It's just like kind of not what I think of when I think of She-Hulk.
Who's doing it?
I don't know. And it seems like it's pretty consistent through the omnibus, even with like the different artists.
Right.
So, but it is like a really good writing. Like, She-Hulk's pulled away from a deposition because she has to go like save the universe.
Uh-huh.
And the jury just automatically goes in her favor. And the case like went to like a mistrial because the people on the jury are just thankful that she saved the world or whatever.
That's
funny. She gets like let go from that like that practice, and she gets hired by somebody, but only to be like, what's her name, Jen Walters or something like that.
Jen Walters.
Yeah. So, but not as She-Hulk,
right?
You know, because she normally would be She-Hulk when she's lawyering or mm-hmm. whatever. And it seems pretty interesting. And I don't know. I just had an itch to read some She-Hulk, so
cool.
Got into that. And then my trade for the week was Destroy All Monsters, a Reckless book.
Cool.
With our pal Ethan Reckless. And
makes me laugh every time.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I don't know if this is my favorite trade of the series so far, but definitely, you know, solid stuff.
Can't go wrong with them.
Definitely. Do you watch anything?
Not really. I had a really busy couple days.
Hmm.
Just continuing. We watched a little bit more of just what we've been watching, I think.
Sure.
Yeah, Summer Hikaru died. Watch more of that. And some of the other stuff. But yeah.
I watch Black Bag, which is that one director, Steven Soderbergh.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of this at all?
No.
It came out last year, I think.
Nope.
It's got
Michael Fassbender?
Michael Fassbender, okay, Kate Blanchett.
Yep.
It's like a spy thing where they're like two spies like in a relationship, but they can't talk about like any of the missions that they do.
But they know that each other are spies?
Yeah. They like work at like the same place.
Oh, okay, cool.
And yeah, it's like a spy movie without like any like spy missions.
Sounds like a bad idea.
Which doesn't sound but it's just like fucking kick ass writing.
Yeah.
And
it would need to be for that kind of situation.
Yeah. That's cool. And it was just like, I'm like, they need to teach this, like how to, like in writing classes, just like how much they're able to like pull off with how little they had to work with, like, you know, probably budget wise. And like, it's not like an action movie, even though it's a spy movie.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's just short and sweet. It's like 90 minutes. And it kind of felt like it was like a show. Like it could have been a show. Like I wanted more of it. Or like it could have been 2 hours. I'd be very happy with that.
How long was it?
Like an hour and a half.
Oh, okay.
And so, highly recommend. Banger. But what are we going to read next week, Nathan?
What are we going to read next week?
We're going to do Gotham by Gaslight.
Yes, sir.
Not a manga. We're back to the Western shit.
Yep.
But it's about damn time. We did Gotham by Gaslight.
Yeah, it's kind of a classic.
Yeah, kind of a classic. You know, Mignola, can't go wrong.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, so thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll have a couple of shorter episodes while we're double recording.
Yep.
But link tree in the bio. You could like, comment, subscribe, email in. Tell us if you like Berserk.
Should we continue it? Should I read all of it?
Cherryberspot@gmail.com.
Yep.
Let us know.
Peace.
And goodbye.